always fun to welcome artists to the WBGO performance space. Today, a very special artist, Lynn Arielle. She is opening tomorrow night. You can hear her at Zinc Bar, two sets at 7:30 and 9 p.m. We'll speak with Lynn later, but her album is Give Us These Days. We'll get some samples and have a great conversation. The Lynn Arielle Trio, starting with Woodstock on WBGO.
Thank you.
That would definitely make Joni Mitchell smile. And Arielle, welcome to WBGO.
Thank you. It's great to be here. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I mean, you know, we got a little rain in the area, but the flowers got to grow, right?
They do.
So I was reading about you, and you talk about this voice that told you to study jazz. Have you figured out quite who that voice belonged to, or was it just something?
Just a passing thought. You know, we have them all the time. Some of them might be followed. Some should never be followed. And for whatever reason, I decided to check it out. And I didn't even know what jazz was. I really didn't. In fact, when I sat down for my first piano lesson, the teacher put Round Midnight in front of me. And he said, play that. And so I kind of stumbled through it. And he said, now make up new melodies over that. I said, are you kidding? That's what I get to do? And he said, yeah. That was the beginning. And I thought, oh my God, I had no idea. So
I bet you made Thelonious Monk smile too.
Well, I hope so. He makes me smile all the time.
He makes
the whole world smile.
You'll be making people smile tomorrow night at Zinc Bar. Talk about your engagement there and talk about the wonderful trio that you'll be playing with.
I'm so fortunate to have these wonderful musicians playing with me. Orlando LaFleming is brilliant, and Carl Allen is, you know, an incredible, incredible musician. Both musicians have played with everybody for years and years, and they can do anything. And they just have such great gifts, and it's just so beautiful that they're sharing these gifts with the world.
I was talking with Carl a few moments ago. He informed me he's from the jazz capital of the world. I said, oh, that would be here, no? He's at Milwaukee, of course, your hometown.
That's right. That's right. And Carl is a legend from Milwaukee and a legend in the world.
You guys have produced some great players and one of the greatest vocalists of all time, the great Al Jarreau, also from the city of Milwaukee, and Mel Rhine with the organ. He's brought happiness to so many people.
Yeah.
And as you are doing now, tell us about Give Us These Days. What was the inspiration for that entire project?
This was inspired by a poem that I read from, it was written by a high school classmate of mine, whose name is Jim Schley. And I always wanted to do an album that had the focus on how precious life is, and that at any moment things can change, and we never know what's around the corner, and that really every moment matters. And I reconnected with him after many years, and I read this poem called Devotional, and he talked about bringing up his 13-year-old daughter, and he and his wife and his daughter live off the grid up in Maine, I believe. And one day he was just folding her bed linens, and he said, if I could just ask if we could all live to be very old, and if I may ask, please give us these days. And my heart just opened when I heard it. I just thought, oh, my God, that's it. And I called him and I said, would it be okay if I use this as a title of a tune and the title of the album? And he said, yes, it would be okay, but I actually, this is from the Bible originally. I said, okay, I just wanted to ask you first.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give
us these days the simple things in life. 6 of the 9 tracks on the CD, by the way, are composed by you. I think we're going to hear another one right now, Finding Home.
Yes.
Tell me about that very quickly.
Well, Finding Home, not in the sense of we're lost and we have to find out where where our address is, but finding home inside ourselves and with the people that we love. And, you know, I think it's a real blessing to have people in our lives that we can trust and that we hopefully know for a long time throughout our lives. And to me, that's home. And it's very precious and special.
Finding Home, Lynn Arielle, her trio on WBGO. Thank you. Finding Home, Lynn Arial, here on member-supported WBGO, Bill Daughtry on Afternoon Jazz. Want to remind you that Lynn, her trio, they'll be at Zinc Bar tomorrow night, 7:30 and 9:30. Zinc Bar, of course, located at 82 West 3rd Street down there in the village in the shadow of Washington Park. You can get tickets online at zincjazz.com. You can also call for information at 212-477-9462. So, Lynn Arial, tell me, who was your greatest influence as a musician?
I've had so many influences. I would say that Keith Jarrett is a tremendous influence, Richie Bayrak, and everyone I've ever listened to. I learn something from everyone that I play with and from everyone that I hear. There's so much magic and so much music that's out there. I just always want to take it in and learn from it on a conscious level or on a non-conscious level.
We all have these defining moments. I mean, when was it that it finally hit you? Yeah, I can do this, and I do this pretty well.
Call me in 10 years.
I mean, when you think about it, I mean, how... maybe it wasn't daunting, the 1993 100 Golden Fingers Tour of Japan. I mean, you're playing with some of the greatest who have ever sat down in front of the instrument.
That was so inspiring. They were so kind and supportive. Hank Jones and Tommy Flanagan and Cedar and Monty Alexander and Ray Bryant. It was an experience of a lifetime. What was really remarkable was to be able to hear them play the same tunes on different pianos. No, actually, it was on the same pianos, but everyone had a different touch. And we always talk about a pianist's touch, and it's not just how they play the instrument. It's many things. It's, of course, you know, the content of what they're playing and so forth. But to hear Tommy play a piano and to have Hank Jones sit down at the same piano and to hear Ray Bryant sit down after that and then Roger Calloway, it was amazing.
Did you steal a little bit from everybody? I mean, a little bit here, a little bit there.
I was stealing as much as I could, as they would let me.
It's a great thing.
And I'll never forget being very, very nervous on the plane over. And Ray Bryant came up to me, I don't know where he was sitting, and he said, "I just wanted you to know, we're really glad you're here." And I thought, oh, how beautiful. And what, he had such a big heart. Everyone on the tour was just really wonderful.
It seems that the Giants always know their place, and they welcome the young and the newcomer and just try and make them feel like they're a part of all of it.
Yes, and
it's
they did.
Wonderful thing. So you talk about touch. You talk about interpretation. Tell us about your interpretation of Let It Be, the great Lennon McCartney song.
Well, the story of that song, of course, is that Paul was going through some rough times in his life, and he had a dream that his mother came to him, and she said, "Just let it be." And I thought, that's so apropos for this album, because we all feel stress. We all go through very difficult times. There's not a person that I've ever met who hasn't had some really, really rough times, and somehow we manage to just persevere and say, somehow I'm going to get through this. And, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of action and a lot of courage. And sometimes it's also, okay, we have to just, you know, let it be.
It's the opening lyrics to the song. "When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be." Lynn Arial, her trio on WBGO. Thank you. from Give Us These Days, pianist Lynn Arriau. The biggest challenge for you, is it playing or teaching or composing, or is any of it a challenge?
Everything, all of the above. They're challenging in different ways. Composing is very challenging. Finding an idea that resonates with me that I think will reach people. And then what? Once we have that first idea, craft has to happen. What needs to follow next? And it's not, there's no formula for it. It's an intuitive sense of what's the shape of the line? What would feel best right after this? And then where does it need to go? I always want the songs to tell a story, for the lines to have a shape as if we were drawing. So I work with that, and I work with harmony and think about the changes and how do they feel. And I listen back sometimes and I think, that's correct, but it doesn't, I want a different feeling. So sometimes it's hit or miss, and we have to try many, many different options for trying to reharmonize a note. Sometimes I write down 6 or 8 options that all are correct, and then I think, where does this feel like it needs to go? So I have to have a little bit of trust that, you know, maybe what resonates for me might resonate for a listener.
It's a literal palette. I mean, really, it's like, let me try this shade. No, I like this shade better, but wait, let's try this shade. Now, when you're teaching, how do you impart that to students? And better yet, are your students learning music or are they learning jazz?
They're learning both, and they're learning about their minds, first and foremost. I stress fundamentals, you know, first. They have to learn the language. This is a brand new language for many of them. And we don't start out at when we're 1 year old speaking, you know, eloquently. We imitate over and over and over. When we think about the first words that we were ever spoken, that was after our parents had said things over and over and over. And then we finally said, Mama. And it's like a big moment. They said our first word. So in the same way, I tell my students, this is a language, and you must learn all these voicings, and you have to learn them so that you could do them in your sleep. Students often come in and say, oh, it was perfect in my practice room. And I say, well, just assume that the minute you're playing in front of another person, you're going to lose 25 or 50%. That's just the way it is. Sorry. I remember a classical teacher I had years ago, after I would do a performance, her first question was always, how much did you derail this time? What percentage? Because she knew, and it wasn't harsh. You know, I understood. She just expected it. And I tell them that it's more real playing for me than playing in your practice room. Because if you're planning on being a performer. And they get used to that. And, you know, more than music, I want to teach them whatever I've learned over my life about being as straightforward as I can, about doing my best to always tell the truth. Especially nowadays when reality seems to be getting fuzzier and fuzzier.
Wow.
And it's shocking. And I feel that I see this in younger people where they're, you know, telling me things and looking right at me and I'm just saying, no, that's not correct. That's not true. And sometimes we have long talks because that's more important than my teaching them how to improvise. And I say to them, if you're not straight with me, then it's going to be easier and easier to not be straight with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your mother or your father. It's going to become easier and easier. And is that what you want? Is that who you want to be? And they always say, no, that's not who I want to be. And I said, okay, let's start here. And also, I've made so many mistakes in my life, you know, that I can never be in a position to ever judge anyone. Because, you know, I look back at my life and I think, oh my God, you know, can't believe I did that. But with students, I tell them, so if you fall, it's only about 16 inches to the ground and we'll help you up. You're not falling off the Grand Canyon, you know, it's not fatal. You are going to live, and the sun is going to come up tomorrow. And because for a young person, I mean, I'm really, really tough with them in a certain way. But by the same token, I want to be aware of how fragile they are. And I want them to take positive things away, you know, from the lessons. But I'm really rigorous with the fundamentals and learning the bebop scales and transcribing.
I want to be in your class.
And, what was that?
I want to be in your class.
But I learn so much because I learn about how to think about things, you know, to help another student in a different way. There's no cookie cutter approach. I mean, there are fundamentals that we must learn as part of the language. But the bigger problem is what is going to make sense to this student? What is going to help them understand what are they doing in their practice that is throwing them off? Say they have a glitch and it keeps happening. I have to figure out how to get to the core of it, like the root of the tree. And so I it's trial and error. I say, let's try this and see if it works. And I ask them, is that better? You know, we're going to learn together. And they'll say, yeah, that felt a little bit better. I said, a little bit? Okay, I'll go for that. So that's kind of how I approach things.
The challenge of teaching, and Lynn does it well, at the University of North Florida down there in Jacksonville. So if you've got a young musician, send them to school.
Oh, please.
She'll raise them right.
We have a wonderful program. We love our students, and it's an amazing program. Danny Gottlieb is on the faculty, and it was Bunky Green was one of the people who started the program, and he set the tone. I remember when I first got there, I said to the students, God, you're all so open, and there's no arrogance, and that's so beautiful. I'm so inspired by you. And one of them said, how could we be arrogant when Bunky Green is down the hall and he is like the most humble, gentle soul you've ever met? And so I said, that's the person you need to emulate.
Lynn Arielle, the total package will be at the Zinc Bar tomorrow night at 7:30 and 9:30 with Orlando LeFleming on bass and Carl Allen from the jazz capital of the world, Milwaukee. They'll be at the Zinc Bar tomorrow night at 7:30 and 9 p.m. The next selection we're going to hear, an original. Tell me about Over and Out.
Well, this is kind of a playful song. And again, part of the tone of this album is the impermanence of life. So I couldn't find the right title. And then my co-producer, Jasper Somsen, said, how about Over and Out? In other words, bye-bye.
Indeed.
See you later.
Indeed. From Give Us These Days, Lynn Arielle, her trio, Over and Out. Thank you. Stand Out, Lynn Arriel. Tomorrow night, Zinc Bar, 7:30, 9 p.m. Get your tickets online. Go to zincjazz.com or you can call 212-477-9462. Lynn, I want to thank you, Orlando, and Carl for coming in and spending this time with us on Afternoon Jazz. And I know you're just going to tear the place up tomorrow night at Zinc Bar. So
thank you. It's our pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
I tell you what, leave us with one. We talked about this earlier. We are all slightly off center.
Oh, yes. In fact, I always say, you know, if someone feels that they're centered in their life, please come and talk to me. I want to know what you're doing because dot, dot, dot.
Slightly off center. Lynn Arriel. Go check her out, her and the trio, 7:30 and 9 p.m., I should say, tomorrow night at the Zinc Bar. Zincjazz.com.